seen as a major test of public opinion ahead of a general election, but the government appears to be bracing for a tough night. Here's Transport Secretary Mark Harper.
The last time most of these seats were fought was in 2021, where we had effectively a vaccine bounce as we rolled out the COVID vaccine. That was our best set of local elections since 2008, so it is going to be difficult to achieve on that.
Labour's also hoping to win a Westminster by-election in Blackpool South. Many of the results will come within the next few hours, but we'll have to wait until Saturday for some of the declarations. It looks like John Swinney could be unopposed in the race to become Scotland's next First Minister. The SNP's former leader has confirmed he'll run for the top job again, while rival Kate Forbes says she's backing him instead. A man's appeared in court charged with murdering 14-year-old Daniel Andrewin, who was killed during a sword attack in northeast London. Marcus Monzo, who's from Newham in east London, has also been charged with attempted murder and grievous bodily harm. 45 people have been arrested trying to block a coach taking asylum seekers from a hotel in south London to the Bibby Stockholm barge. The vehicle eventually left with no one on board. In sport, Chelsea have moved up to 8th in the Premier League with a 2-0 win against their London rivals Tottenham. It takes them 3 points behind Manchester United in 6th. Trevor Chalobah scored one of the goals and says it's a big result.
The boys already know what a massive game this is for the club, for the fans, for us and for the season we've had, and it was a big opportunity for us to really show our quality and our abilities.
And Aston Villa are 4-2 down heading into the final stages of their Europa Conference League semi-final against Olympiacos. Douglas Luiz has missed a late penalty for Villa. They'll play the second leg in Greece next Thursday. That's the latest. I'm Chris Milligan.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Yeah, my voice got a warm up.
I got a bar stool confession. About to do a bad thing. I'm about to fall from heaven. Got a screw loose, I reckon. 'Cause I never can seem to learn my lesson. Damn, he's my every guilty pleasure. Tattoos, buckles, and leather. That's destined looking weathered.
Oh,
I'm dancing with temptation. Might need a little saving. But Sunday service ain't for 2 days. And that boy's trouble, hell, he's got me shooting doubles. And it ain't even hit midnight. I'm cowboy crazy, picking petals off a daisy, thinking things that ain't ladylike. I'm hanging on a prayer, don't let me go there. 'Cause the only thing between us is boots, jeans, and Jesus. I'm making whiskey decisions. I should never start a drink that I know I can't finish. Oh Lord, just take me to the chapel. Don't let me bite the apple. Don't let me climb back in the saddle. 'Cause that boy's trouble, hell, he's got me shooting doubles. And it ain't even hit midnight. I'm cowboy crazy, picking petals off a daisy, thinking things that ain't ladylike. I'm hanging on a prayer, don't let me go there. 'Cause the only thing between us is boots, jeans, and Jesus. It's like, girl, get a grip. 'Cause when we get close, I guess. It ain't ever just one more kiss. When we get close, I guess. Here I go again. That boy's trouble, hell, he's got me shooting doubles. And it ain't even hit midnight. I'm cowboy crazy, picking petals off a daisy, thinking things that ain't a ladylike. I'm hanging on a prayer, don't let me go there. 'Cause the only thing between us is boots, jeans, and Jesus.
in Nashville but raised in Colorado, Sophia Scott has blazed her own bold trail to country stardom. Growing up in Boulder, she took up piano and guitar as a child and soon started composing songs of her own, then further developed her unforgettably candid songwriting voice upon kicking off her music career in Los Angeles. During her 6 years in LA, Scott found early success with singles like her 2018 hit White Fences and her 2019 hit Drink Too Much Wine, which both featured on playlists like Spotify's New Music Friday. But ultimately, she relocated to Nashville and immersed herself in sharpening her craft. A breakthrough year for Scott back in 2021 brought such triumphs such as opening for the Jonas Brothers, landing on an artist to watch list from People Magazine, and inking her record label deal with Empire Nashville. We just played for you there a track taken from her latest album. The track was called Boots, Jeans and Jesus, the album's name being Barstool Confessions. You're listening to Night Shift on Phoenix 98 FM, your weekly dose of country music, each and every Thursday night, 10 p.m. until midnight. On tonight's programme, I'm going to be joined by London-based country artist Chanel Yates. We're going to be discussing her time on The Voice, where she was coached by Essex Zone and Marie, as well as Chanel's latest country single called Studio Apartment. I'm also going to be taking you through a 2 hour long journey of the freshest and hottest releases from country music this week, so you can be sure to hear some Christian Bush, Ernest, and of course Thomas Cavanaugh. We're going to be continuing our broadcast by playing a new track for you all now by Troubadour Blue. The idea of Troubadour Blue was sparked back in 2019 when Daniel and Brianna, who met during their time in Beaumont Bluegrass Ensemble in 2015, found themselves in the world of Nashville's hired guns and desired a project where they possess full creative control. COVID-19 obviously then became the world's reality just as the group were emerging from the studio. Though their timeline seemed very, very pushed back, it really opened up the door for Eli, who is Brianna's brother, to join upon graduating from Elon University themselves, rounding out the trio's sound, marrying the motif of modern bluegrass music with poetry found in Nashville songwriting scene. This is Troubadour Blue with their track called Why Do You Break My Heart.
Are you in it for the high? You in it for the chase? Maybe you just like the way your goodbye kiss tastes. Is it how I come running when you light up my phone? Does loving me feel better after lying alone? Why do you break my heart? Do you sleep better at night keeping me up in the dark? It never works out with the type of girls my mama wishes I'd bring around. Are you ever gonna want me? You ever gonna change? Are we just burning money on a losing race? Why do you break my heart? Do you sleep better at night keeping me up in the dark? Are you addicted to the feeling of the falling apart? Break my heart. Forever wondering why do you break my heart? Do you like being the story on this sad guitar? You addicted to the feeling of the falling apart? Why do you break my heart? Dark. Are you addicted to the feeling of the fall?
believers. We were nothing but smoking mirrors, trying to make it work when it didn't. Even magic is just an illusion. We had faith, but faith never came through. Ain't your fault, but I'm still gonna blame you. Wish you well, but not right now. I hope it's hell, at least for a while. When you send me around, I hope you look away, 'cause I still make you feel some kind of way. I hope that what might have been is worse than regret. Hope you come back stronger, just not yet. Hope that you move on.
Take it slow, I wanna do this right. something more. This bottle's worth a dime, but your time it is. It's worth everything, baby, everything. The whiskey's running low, but I want you to know you're mine. Everything, baby, everything. This bottle's worth a dime, but your time it is. It's worth everything, baby, everything. There's plenty to do, but I just want you, you're mine. Everything, baby, everything,
Born in rural Nevada, a part of the Cherokee tribe and a coal miner's daughter, that was Lauren Reno with A Bottle's Worth a Dime. Her recent songs have been called nostalgic for their true country sound. Lauren was raised on country music such as Martina McBride, Patsy Cline and Johnny Cash. Her father, Eddie Dimmock, was also a country artist and he was signed to Capitol Records. Be sure to stay tuned for the show because in 15 minutes time I'm going to be joined by UK country artist Chanel Yeats. She is trending like wildfire at the minute on social media following the engagement of her current single called Studio Apartment, a track which me and Chanel will be deep diving into. Chanel is absolutely one of my favourite female country artists on this side of the pond. This year I also had the great opportunity to see some American female country artists travelling over to this way, and this next artist performed a wonderful set at this year's C2C Songwriters Roundup. This is Lauren Elena with Smaller the Town.
Truck and car around here, pulling up at the quick stop, and where they're headed to drink that beer. I can't think of a better place for a good old girl to be raised up, but it ain't where you wanna be. Going through a breakup, smaller the town, boy, you gon' see. You know who on a two-lane street? All his friends are your friends too. Who you gon' call? What you gon' do? There's only one bar. So you just stay on. Damn if I ain't learning it the hard way. Smaller the town, bigger the heartbreak. Smaller the town, bigger the heartbreak. It ain't just on the weekend. It's 7 days of deja vu. Can't go nowhere. Can't go to church without hearing what they heard about you. Yeah, I give up, I'll try getting drunk, try talking to someone new. Everything moves slow around here, guess moving on does too. Smaller the town, boy, you gon' see. You know who on a two-lane street. All his friends are your friends too. Who you gon' call, what you gon' do? There's only one bar in the neon on. You might be there, so you just stay on. Smaller the town, boy, you gon' see. You know who on a two-lane street. All his friends are your friends too. Who you gon' call, what you gon' do? When there's only one bar in the neon on. You might be there, so you just stay on. Damn if I ain't learning it the hard way. Smaller the town, bigger the heartbreak. Smaller the town.
It's a white picket fence. It's a man on the moon. It's a champagne in Paris. It's a beach town in June. What's it gonna hurt?
Should let go of, but you can't, so you don't. Love and blue jeans, they get washed out, they get faded, they get lost and they get labeled, and they both sound good with baby. Two things, when they're good, you just keep on patching. Love and blue jeans never go out of fashion. Love and blue jeans. Some you find in your teens. Some were built to last forever. Some come apart right at the seams. You ain't gonna get a refund when they ain't worth the price you pay. Some look better when they're brand new. Some look better walking away. Love and blue jeans, they get washed out, they get faded, they get lost and they get labeled, and they both sound good with baby. When they're good, you just keep on patching. Love and blue jeans never go out of fashion. Love and blue jeans, love and blue jeans. Yeah,
table, and they both sound good with baby. Two things, when they're good, you just keep on patching. Love and blue jeans never go out of fashion. Love and blue jeans.
Joining me on the night shift tonight to discuss her latest single called Studio Apartment, I have the wonderful London-based country artist Chanel Yates. Thank you so much for being here this evening. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
I know that we've, before we start this interview, we started speaking briefly about country music all across the world. And I think before we dive into your latest country single, I want to focus on you a bit and really rewind a bit to your previous sound, because I think it's really evident, even though your sound was different before you moved to country music, it's really evident in your songwriting that you are a songwriter first, especially in your lyrics. And especially when you start to consider your older songs like Rewind Credits and Island of Her, what was it that first drew you to songwriting?
Thank you for recognizing the songwriting part. That's one of my favorite bits of making music, is the songwriting aspect. You get to tell your story and other people's stories through your music, which is the most magical thing. So it's funny, I was always a really, really shy kid, didn't really interact with people. I was quite nervous in social situations, wouldn't say a word. And then I sort of found a way of expressing through writing everything out. But I didn't start, you know, performing and stuff until I saw a One Direction concert. Now, wherever my directioners are, I'm here. I was literally one of the fangirls. I had the fan Twitter account. I had everything. I was obsessed.
No way did you have a fan Twitter account. Was it for like all of them or just like one particular One Direction?
It was for all of them. And it was like, I don't know, the name was like Popcorn Nary or something stupid like that. Honestly, I had like 20,000 followers. I think I deactivated it now. Like it was big. Like I made a friend from that and everything in America. We were like besties and we'd never met each other. We still haven't. She's in New York State. Like random pen pal. Anyway, I digress. The One Direction show, I went there with my friends when we were about, I think, 12. We went to every show that we could possibly get our hands on. And I was in Sheffield Arena. And I remember just stood there watching them and I sort of thought, sounds cliche, but like I looked at them and went, It was like, imagine it all slow-mo. I'm like screaming, dancing. And then I just like slowed down. And I was like, well, wait, this is really cool. Like I could do, this is someone's job. Like I want to do that. Like I want to make these people happy and bring that much joy to every single person in that room as they're doing to me right now. Like I wanted to be that person. And then my dad was a huge inspiration for music. Like he doesn't play musical instruments. He's not musical, but he was always like, you need to learn an instrument. And so I'm the only one in my family who plays an instrument in immediate family. And he bought me a saxophone for my, like, I think I was about 12 when I got it. So it was around the same time. It was a red saxophone. Saxophone was my first instrument. So that brought me into music. And then the songwriting came when I had a crush in high school. And after watching One Direction, and I was like, this is a big crush. I'm going to like, he said, would you write a song about me? And I was like, bet. But let me just put it down on pen and paper. And the song was terrible and it was called Hey Mister. And it was really bad, but we'll start somewhere. But I performed it in a school talent competition and I won, which was lit.
Did you perform it in front of him then?
I did. He was front row. I didn't expect this boy to turn up. This point 13, I think I was 14. And I'm there with my guitar, my little heels, and I'm like, eh, I'm going to sing a song. And yeah, front row with the girl I like slated in the song. It was dramatic. And so they were like holding hand in hand, like girlfriend and boyfriend at the time. And I was like, no, I was giving your songstress. Like I was just there singing to them. Direct eye contact. It was like High School Musical. I literally looked around and I was like, they're there, but I can't stop now. So I wrote a song for him, and then I was like, wait, I get a kick out of that. I like writing songs about people. Let me just continue. So it sort of stayed. Upgraded my guitars, and just, yeah, I think songwriting started with One Direction and my saxophone and my crush.
See, you've written quite a lot of songs by yourself, but country music is such a networking whirlwind when it comes to co-writing. Who would your dream songwriting collaboration be?
Oh my gosh, there are so many. I think Shania Twain would be unbelievable. Megan Maroney and Kelsey Ballerini. They're like three of the top women I would love to collaborate with. Like, they would be amazing. But funny, because I ended up writing a song. It was such a full circle moment. So around the One Direction hype phase, I was a massive fan of the Vamps. Obsessed. And me and my friends would watch them in the break room, everything. Loved the Vamps. And after The Voice, I ended up writing with James McVeigh from the Vamps. We wrote a song called 20th Century Kids, and it was like the coolest thing ever. So I was like, wow, I was such a huge fan of you, and now we're writing together. This is wild. Like, we're making music together. After like watching them grow up, and that was like a full circle crazy moment. But I love collabs. It just helps like bouncing energy off.
My sister threw a house party, and she invited all of my friends to make me feel less sorry for myself this weekend. But there's one little problem. She sent the invite to all of my exes too. What am I gonna do, little sister? I'ma kill you. 'Cause now we got Harry in the back.
Said there, you mentioned The Voice, and many of our listeners might actually recognize your name from The Voice. It seems like The Voice over here in the UK is slowly becoming an equivalent to what American Idol is for country music over in the States. Both shows are really great at discovering artists who then eventually end up flourishing in the country music scene. Did you feel like The Voice gave you that opportunity though to showcase your songwriting skills? Because I know obviously on the live shows you have to perform covers, but from a social media perspective, I guess you're gaining a lot of followers. Were you able to then share your songwriting through that way?
Yeah, I was going to touch on that. So when I was on the actual TV, we had to obviously do covers. Like, I suggested doing one of my own because I'm like, I'm a songwriter. That's my main thing. So I love doing. But you had to do a cover. which was super fun, but I don't really do that many covers. So it was kind of new and like, oh my God, to me. I was like, what do I do if I don't do my own? But it was fun. It ended up really, really cool. And yeah, but I think through social media, it's really, really opened up to a few incredible, I've got some amazing, gorgeous, gorgeous girly fans, and they are the best. I love them so much. So a few of them came from The Voice too. And we used to have, I did like a Zoom writing session, question and answers, and it was so much fun. So what a throwback. That was so cool. It was a few, couple years ago now. But yeah, they are the best fans from that show. And it was, yeah, it was very fun for socials and stuff.
And then what would you say your life was like the following few months after completing the show? What kind of like projects were you working on, or what kind of things did you start noticing happening with your fan base?
I think my fan base, because it was Anne-Marie's team, it grew quick in terms of like there was a big spike. And because I kind of fit the little pop princess vibe, then I think the girlies sort of related a lot. And that's all I want to be. It's just relatable and people can enjoy my music because they relate, or they just want to be my best friend. You know what I mean? Also, it was fun because then they transitioned to socials and then they were like, oh, wait, she makes her own music. And so I released an acoustic version of a song that I wrote. That was the first release after The Voice. It was called It's Chocolate Acoustic. And the acoustic version ended up being one of my favorites that I wrote at that time. So that went out. They loved that. It was really, really fun because I did a little music video too. And then, yeah, I'm so lucky that they really like my original stuff and my music, which is very cool. There's nothing better than them loving something that you wrote because they can relate, or they just enjoy it.
I like that you had Anne-Marie as your coach, and our listeners, we absolutely love Anne-Marie because she's a fellow Essex girl. What are some of the best lessons you maybe learned from her?
When I was on the show, me and the person I was up against in the battle rounds, so we had to go head on head. We walked in the room together, and then we basically got in the room together and we didn't know the song. It was Close by Nick Jonas that we chose, that Anne-Marie chose for us. And both of us looked at each other and went, we don't know this song. And then in that moment we were singing and stuff, and I was trying to sing, and she literally was like, Chanel, just be yourself. And I think that I really took that into the show, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to be myself because what's the point in not? You know what I mean? Like trying to sound like somebody else or trying to do things like somebody else, and you've not got your own artistry, and people then will go to that other artist because they're authentic. Like you want to be authentic in yourself. So I think that advice was a really great piece that she gave me that helped me in the show.
And obviously before, during and after the show, you were releasing pop singles. At what point did you then decide you wanted to then pivot into country music?
Interesting. So I went through a bit of a breakup. I'll start somewhere. And essentially, I've always thought, I just always gravitated towards country music. I adore country music. All my playlists have always been country. I'd always put it on the aux in the car and everyone would hate it. And I'm like, why do you hate this? This is the best kind of music. And I thought, basically, I'd always made music on what I thought people would enjoy, rather than, like, obviously I enjoyed making it and I enjoyed the songs, but the more that I could play with it and be more authentic to me, which I felt was very American, very, like, me and my family always joke and say we're so Americanized in the way that we act or the way that we are, and we've spent a bit of time over there and it's really amazing, and I think I've just always been drawn to the songwriting of it, and the style and the clothing and everything is just so fun about it that I just feel like I really fit within that genre. But I wasn't making it, I was just listening to it, and I was like, why don't I just make stuff that I would actively listen to and put on a playlist? And so I did, and I think Studio Apartment for me, I literally sat at piano at like 2 a.m. sobbing writing this song, and my friend came back from like the night out at like 3, and they were like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm just fine. Leave me to it. I was like, I'm onto something. Hold up. And then I voice noted it to my friends and my sisters, and I sent it to them. And they were like, this is the best song you've ever written. You have to release it. So I was like, okay, new brand, new me. And I feel like I was getting there. House Party was one of the previous ones I did, and that was still very Americana, and it was very, like, fun, Maisie Peters vibes. And I just full sent it. Just thought, why not? Let's be myself and be what I actually want to be. And I just think it's come at a perfect time where country's actually getting the recognition in the UK that it deserves. Like, country's the best. I've always loved it, and I kind of wish that I wrote it sooner. But I couldn't have, because I didn't have the experiences, you know.
And I love that female response to a breakup of, I feel like a guy will go for a breakup and be like, okay, we're broken up, we're done. And now a girl will sit there and go, guess I have to make a music career out of this now.
Like, I got a whole album, baby.
And honestly, I feel like there are so many good breakup songs within country music, and there's such a wide spectrum of just like relationship songs in general when it comes to country music. Who are then some of the country artists that you're currently listening to?
I don't see my playlist.
Go for it.
So I've got a playlist on Spotify that I made called Yeehaw Era. Looks like this.
I love the cowboy boots picture.
Got my boots in it. So Shaylin is one of the top artists that comes up. Been there before. Wow, she's amazing. Like, her vocals, crazy. Obviously, Kelsey Ballerini, Megan Maroney, Drake Milligan's on there, and Lainey Wilson. And I could keep going on and on and on, but they're like top ones right now that I just keep putting on repeat.
Was you and me, happy ever after. Our love was going on like a week field goes forever. Kansas was golden roads, in your arms it felt like home. Kansas was you and me, damn, we were happy.
Start with it, ain't you, it's me.
not just in country music, in quite a range of genres. It seems to be a massive trend now that when artists do pivot between genres, they will sometimes revisit their previous work and reinvent it, especially if their sound has like drastically changed. Do you think you will ever revisit and re-record any of your older tracks, or do you feel like that chapter's now closed, I'm now ready for the next thing?
In the position I'm in right now, I wouldn't probably do them, but just because I think I've got so much exciting new stuff that I'm working on that I'm really focusing on that. But I'll never say never. Justin Bieber taught us that. I think I could revisit them for sure. My mom and dad are like, you should revisit Mama and make that more country, because their favorite one ever is Mama. And I'm like, I wonder why. Like, why do they resonate with Mama so much? But I think it was like a time period and like good memories associated with it. And for that music video, me and my videographer / best friend, we went to a bowling alley, Lane 7 in Sheffield. And we basically took, and we just watched the film 1917? I think that was the movie with the war thing. And basically we did like a one take thing, right? That was the whole thing in the movie. It was like a one take vibe. So we were like, why don't we create a music video as a one take vibe? So we did. And then that was like a fun music video. And they absolutely loved it. My parents loved it. So maybe that's why they want to revisit that one. So maybe I will. Maybe I will. But there's a lot of exciting things coming. So.
And obviously your current single is a track called Studio Apartment, which at the moment is just spreading like wildfire all over TikTok. And ultimately, like you said, it's a breakup song. It's a story of you seeing your ex move on and really treat the next girl better. What was the process behind writing that song and the production towards the track?
A lot of crying on the piano. It's so funny. So I'll tell you a secret story. In the chorus of the song, she gets the roses because I picked the thorns.
Yeah.
I actually wrote that a year prior. So like I had that chorus sitting for so long, but because I had not been through anything, and I thought I was in a good position, but I actually wasn't. And there was a lot of like changes that needed to happen, but I felt that chorus had to be written down. So I wrote that down and I just could not think of anything. My mind was blank. And I think going through experiences like one thing is imagining it, right? And you do extend it sometimes in songs, but like going through it and experiencing it is like completely another thing. And so for me, once that, you know, happened and I came out of this certain period in my time, in my life, I sort of just sat down and I put pen to paper and I was like, oh, let me just revisit that. And sometimes I feel like the universe just gives you things. Like it gives you ideas, it gives you prompts, and sometimes you just go, whoa. Like a bit I wrote earlier, like a chorus I wrote earlier, I was on the tube this morning and I looked like a psychopath. Because imagine it's like 8 a.m., I'm on the tube, it's packed, and I'm going, yeah, my voice, like trying to get the melody over this like screeching of the tube. People looking at you like you're a nut job, but do you know what? Let them think that. But yeah, I mean, that whole process was sitting down at a piano and taking what I had previously wrote and creating something out of it, and drawing from my own experience, from my friends' experiences, my parents' experience, like everything. It was really in that song, and it's the most like vulnerable and true and open thing that I've put out into the world, and I'm so proud of it. And I think like I just back it so much. Like I think it's nice. That's why I'm doing so much on socials for it, because I'm like, I think people will actually relate to this song and love it. So all I can do is put it out and hope that people do. And new Pop UK yesterday, editorial, like what, crazy. And then New Music Friday Country, which I'm so grateful to Spotify, because they're cool, they're really cool playlists.
And then obviously when it comes to writing a really vulnerable track like this, how do you then ensure that the track walks that very, very fine line of being honest, being true to yourself, but also being relatable to other people?
Yeah, I think in this day and age, it's crazy because social media takes up a lot, right? And a lot of things on there are fake. Let's face it. Like, there's a lot of fakeness. There's a lot of things you see and believe and it's just not true. And I think for me to write something so like, well, this is so true and vulnerable for me, is being authentic. And like, I just want to make content and music that people, it's not masked with anything that's not real, if you know what I mean. So I think just coming from a place of vulnerability in itself is, it helps sort of thing with that. I think really just the social aspect as well. That's not the only aspect, but I think just being real, people start to respect that. Like I see people who do, I don't know if you watch a lot of TikTok, but there are so many people and influencers on there. And then the influencers that are body positive and, or like come on with no makeup or pimples or show their hair on their arms and are like, this is normal. Then they're the ones that I follow because I'm like, wow, you're real. Like, I feel good now. You're not just showing me something that like we need to be all shiny. It's just being real. So hopefully people think I am real.
And then one thing that I picked up on that you said earlier, obviously when you were talking about being on the tube and you was like making like voice notes to yourself. So it's quite obvious that you're now working on new music. Can we expect any further single releases or maybe even perhaps an EP this year?
Well, without saying too much, there are definitely songs on the way. Yeah, very excited. There is a lot of new music to look forward to. So you'll see. Keep your eye on socials. I'm sure I'll be promoting it.
And obviously one track that listeners can obviously listen to right now is obviously Pseudo Apartment, which we've got to play for our listeners now. Would you like to introduce the track?
Yeah. My name is Chanel Yates and this is my brand new single, Pseudo Apartment.
I saw a picture last Saturday of you with a new girl down by the lake. You promised we'd go to, but you never drove me that way. She never
That was Chanel Yates with Studio Apartment. Be sure to give Chanel a follow on all of her socials to ensure that you are keeping up with the latest news concerning live performances and further single releases. You can find Chanel at Chanel Yates _. That is Chanel Yates _. Be sure to tune in again next week, where I'll be joined by Kate Harding. Kate is a fresh on the scene country singer. She recently released a debut track called Wallflower. She just released a music video to go alongside that track as well, which was filmed at the King's Theatre in Southsea down in Portsmouth. One track I really want to move us on to now, though, is a new track by Thomas Mack. Every now and then, I do like to incorporate a country comedy track into my personal mix. I'm a big fan of artists like Lowell Lovett, and following his performance a few years ago in London, and this new track by Thomas reflects so well upon what it is like, or what I think it must be like, for men in the modern dating scene. How do I approach a girl? Does she want to be approached? Is she on the girls' night out? Is she out with the girls but still open to having a conversation? So this is Thomas Mack addressing all of those questions with his latest track called Ain't No.
I was sitting there trying to catch a buzz Friday night, drinks with the buds. I seen a 10 walk in the room. I didn't realize, but my eyes were glued. My buddy said, just go over, man. Oh, yeah, right. Real nice plan. He bought me a shot and said, just go. The worst she could say is no. And she said, get away, you creep. You're kidding me. You can't believe you got a shot. Hope you don't think you're hot, 'cause you're not. Can a girl just drink with her friends? This is the end, it's time to go. Oh, just remember, y'all, the worst she could say ain't no. Standing there in the Starbucks line, a little sleepy-eyed, but doing just fine. The checkout girl, she was pretty cute. My boy said, yo, go make a move. I said, it don't feel like the right time. He started laughing. Boy, you're such a wimp, you'll be fine. What's the worst I could